He's a good God, and I bless His wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name. 1 Samuel 3, look at verse number 1. Be a real familiar portion if you've been to church much. A child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim. He could not see. Ere the lamp of God was out in the temple of God, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now don't forget that. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Listen, that verse right there, that's everything. That's it.
That's right.
And the average person in this country that's a religionist has no idea what that means. They don't know. What do you mean the word of the Lord wasn't revealed unto him and he never heard it? No, that ain't what it means. When the word of the Lord's revealed unto you is when the Holy Spirit puts it in your heart. It's like, and everybody up here will be familiar with this probably, it's like taking a ripper and ripping up the ground, and then taking a turning plow, turning that ground, and then disking that ground, ripping it back up, and all that you do to soften that soil, and then you get it soft where the seed can get in that ground. You lay it off. You sow the seed. You cover it back up. That's what God does. You can't get saved apart from the Holy Ghost. You got to be born of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And that's what he's talking about here. God turns a light on in your soul where you can understand. Man, I mean, you'd be like a calf looking at a new gate till you're 155 years old if God opens your eyes up. You cannot see it. A lot of folks say, like a man's a preacher, they say, "I just don't see it." Well, that's exactly right. They just don't see it. But praise God, when God shows it to you, you can see it. And the most simple things become so profound. I'll tell you one of the simplest statement Christ ever made, which was the most profound that he ever made. You must be born again. And the Lord called unto Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Isn't that a blessing? Children need to be instructed about being saved. Adults need to be instructed. That's what Eli, he finally got discernment about what's going on. Sadly, a lot of children get under conviction and their mom and daddy don't even know what's happening to them. There's a man I know, as a matter of fact, he died a couple weeks ago. And the reason I remember him, my daddy told me about him when I was a child. And he took his boys to go hear Dr. Percy Ray, and old Dr. Ray preached on hell. Boys tore that man all to pieces. He told my daddy, he said, "I ain't never going back down there to hear him. He scared my boys to death, and they couldn't hardly sleep last night." My, I got a sneaking feeling that the boys wasn't his problem. And see, he had no more discernment than that. No more discernment that it wasn't the preacher that scared them boys. It's what he said and the atmosphere and God dealing with them. You better hope to God your kids get scared of going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God, I did. For I ever even knew anything about Jesus, I know there's a hell. And I knew I was going and didn't want to go. And you better, that fear of God has got to get in a person's heart. And you can't put it there, but you can sure tell them the truth and pray God will give them that gift of the fear of the Lord. You don't respect somebody you don't fear. You know why I fear God? He's the man. He's the king. He's in charge. He's the boss. He's sovereign, controls it all. And I'm going to stand before him. I'm going to stand before him and face him. I want to be right with him. We'll talk to you a little bit on this little simple subject on when it is time to be saved. Brother Mike, pray for us, will you? Yes, Lord, you're so tender. Give us your grace and mercy for this hour. God, if we stand alone, God will be defeated and we'll be, God, sounding brass and tinkling cymbals and amount to nothing. So, Lord, may you exalt your word. May the power of the Holy Ghost be manifested here tonight, bringing the wanderings of our minds. And, God, make this real to us, Father. God, you've got all this for a purpose and a reason, I pray. Dear God, from the oldest to the youngest, God, those that's old enough to understand that you've made it real too, we'll leave here, God, tonight, saved by the grace of God. Lord, grant it to be so. May everybody under conviction tonight be born again. Grant it, Father. Amen. Everybody that's ever been saved, and I know we all have different experiences, but we can all understand one another's experiences. I mean, salvation is so glorious that you got to experience it to really know anything about it. Somebody else can try to tell you what it's about. But like that old saying, it's better felt than tell. And there's some things you can't verbalize to somebody. It's like I used to ask my mom and dad. My children would ask me this. Yours probably ask you that. Mama, Daddy, when will I know when it's time to get saved? You know what they'd always tell me? You'll just know. It's sort of like a man wondering, how will I know if God calls me to preach? You'll know it. There ain't no doubt about that. But thank God for God making himself real to the hearts of not just old folks and middle-aged people, but children also. And the Lord dealt so delicately and tenderly and gently with my heart, and I thank him for it. I was terrified of God, but I had no reason to be. If it had any sense how glorious God was, I'd run to him instead of being terrified of him. Thank God for that day that I got lost. Oh, thank God. I could have never got saved if I hadn't have got lost. Thank God for that day. I realized something in here wasn't right. Amen. God wasn't on the right terms. And I felt guilty before God. I know that was the awfulest day of my life of condemnation and guilt. But I look back at it, that was the day that the process began. It's like a child. Why, a child's not born overnight. There's a process there. Oh, when there's conception, that mother carries that child. And then it's born. And in the salvation of people, I don't know how the time that God uses. It's different for everybody. But there's a time God sows that seed and a time that God, the Spirit of God, grants repentance, grants faith, and that person is saved. Man can't do it. Man don't have the power nor the ability to do what needs to be done. I remember as a child, there's nothing terrified me like the judgment of God. Boy, I was scared to death of dying lost without God. I'd dream about hell, think about hell, terrified about hell, and for God save me, that's about all I could think about. You say, man, that's terrible. Oh, no, that ain't terrible. That's glorious, and that's wonderful that God gave me enough sense and aggravated me, and it wasn't being aggravated. It was his love drawing me that let me know what I was and where I was going and that I didn't have to go. Thank God for that. So I praise the Lord for him dealing with my heart, and I know you do too, him dealing with you. But this story of little Samuel is so simple, but it breaks down the very understanding of salvation, the circumstances surrounding his life. He's blessed here with a God-fearing father and a praying mother. He's the product of a mother that was burdened for a man child. She had went for years, couldn't have a son. And she'd go down to the house of God every year, and they'd take their sacrifice like they'd done in those days. And she'd pray, beg God for a child. And she got so desperate that God is going to get him a prophet, and she's going to get her a son, because she got so desperate. And said, God, no matter what you ask, no matter what your will is, I'll give you a boy all the days of his life if you'll just let me have a son. And of course the Lord heard her, and the Lord answered her, and she prayed that simple prayer, and God blessed her, and God used her to bring forth that mighty prophet by the name of Samuel into this world. But she had a burden and made this vow unto God. 1 Samuel 1:11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, not forget thine handmaid, that will give unto thine handmaid a man child, I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And verse 20, she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. I think a lot of times when we pray for our husband or pray for our wife or pray for our children or our parents, we ought to just pray, God, you save them that they can bring glory to your name. Not that I can have a better husband, not that I can have a better wife, not that my children will be better children, that they can honor and glorify and magnify the name of the blessed God of heaven. She gave glory to God. Samuel has got devout parents, but in spite of that, he was not saved. You can have a preaching daddy and a prayer warrior for a mama and go to hell like Hitler if you're not saved by the grace of God. Being raised in a good home is not enough. This thing's not about generation. A salvation's not. We must be saved by birth of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Samuel 1, verse 24, the child was young. Here she comes and presents him at the proper time, like she promised, like she said to the man of God who was Eli up at the temple or the tabernacle rather. And she said, oh my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given him me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I've lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. That's what every parent ought to do. Get them around God's man. Get them around God's house. Get them around God's truth. It's more important than any grade of school, any type of education, anything they might learn in this life. It's Sunday school and preaching time and learning the things of God, and expose them all you can to the glorious things of God. Boy, this man's whole life was given to the Lord, but it wasn't on his volition. It was from his mama. Boy, mama wanted him to serve God. Boy, mama wanted him to glorify God. That ain't enough. There comes a time that Samuel has to make that choice. He's placed under the ministry of the high priest. He literally lives at the house of God, trained by Eli in the rituals of the tabernacle. The Bible indicates he closed and opened the doors of the house of God. The daily lit 7-branch candlestick that was there at the house of God, he supplied it with oil every morning and ministered to this aged man by the name of Eli, the priest. But keep in mind, he's got a devout father and a godly mama. He's dedicated to the work of God. Why, he's dedicated before he's ever even born, and he's dedicated again as a young child. He lives in the house of God. He's laboring in the service of God. He learns the things of God, yet he does not know the Lord, neither has the word of the Lord been made known unto him. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that. You say, I'm going to teach my kids to memorize scripture. Hallelujah. Kids need to be taught to pray when they're little old bitty things. They need to be taught the things of God, but that don't save them. You say, but preacher, I've been baptized. That don't save you. But preacher, I can memorize the 23rd Psalm and the Romans Road. I tell you what you need to get on the Damascus Road. That's that road you get under conviction so you can get to the Romans Road. Hey, if you've ever been saved, you understand what I just said in 1 Samuel 3:7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. In spite of all that training, all that influence, that godly environment, he did not yet know the Lord. Yeah, that's the circumstances surrounding this chapter. And then the call summons in Samuel's life. You're looking at one preacher that dogmatically believes in the call of God to be saved. I don't think you accidentally get saved. I don't think you luck up on it. I think it's a divine call and a drawing of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Samuel 3:1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. It was much like that day, like this day, that the word of God was rare. You say, but preacher, the word of God's not rare in America. Oh, yes, it is. There might be Bibles in about every house. Brother Mike's been all over his country. He'll tell you there's not much Holy Ghost preaching left. There's not many churches that will allow men to get up and preach the burden of the Lord and tell it like it is. I tell you, the word of the Lord is rare in these days. That's why when God gets to moving and the wheels of Zion get to turning, get your young'uns in around the presence and the power of God. That's the only time they can be saved. Well, I see here, there was no open vision. The people didn't understand the word of God. Why? God's grieved. That's why they didn't understand God's word. God's not moving. Why is God not moving? Because down there at the house of God, Eli has put his boys in charge of God's house. And they're a bunch of whoremongers. And they're a bunch of thieves. And they've grieved God. And God judges Eli for watching them disobey God and break God's commandments and set such a bad example and wouldn't even say a word to them. And that's why a lot of churches ain't got an open vision. They ain't got a hireling in the pulpit instead of God's man. And God won't honor that mess. And God won't move. And that's why folks don't get saved. Boy, old Samuel's raised in the house of God. Boy, raised around this old man of God. Now, he ain't half right with God, but he is God's priest. Samuel knew about ritualism. He knew all about religion. He knew all about routine. Well, if he'd been in the Baptist church today, I mean, here's a boy, got the perfect attendance every year in Sunday school. Every night of Bible school, he's there. He's in the Christmas play. He sings in the little kiddie choir. I mean, he does everything. Everybody pats him on the back of the head and tells him what a good little boy he is. Not one day he might even grow up and be a preacher. Everybody's all excited. That little boy, when all the time he don't even know God and the word of the Lord, that's not been revealed unto him. I mean, doing everything just right, but's never been saved. Sometimes a child raised, Brother Mike, in this environment are the hardest to reach in the world, because they've always been good and they've always been bragged on, and they get ashamed to admit that they're lost, and they get ashamed and full of pride and religious pride that tell mom and daddy, I'm lost. They're afraid they'll embarrass daddy. They're afraid they'll embarrass mama. They're afraid they'll embarrass the church. I'll tell you one thing, praise God. If you're not saved, it don't matter what anybody thinks. All matters what God thinks. And your mom and daddy, if they're saved, I'll be the happiest people in the world if you get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. 1 Samuel 3:2, listen to this. It came to pass. Boy, I love how God writes this book. It came to pass. And that time, boy, they something about this old Elizabethan English. Boy, that Bible's written in a way that's full of holiness. That's why I like this old King James Bible. You take the these and the thous out. You take the way God said this thing written. You take the holiness out of it. But this book's got power. It came to pass at that time when Eli's laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim. He could not see. There the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Boy, that little boy had been taught to respect people. And as soon as he heard his name called, he didn't linger. He didn't delay. He made a beeline to Eli and asked him what he wanted. You know, Eli, scratching his head, said, "Son, I've not called you. You're just having a dream. Go back and lay down. We got to get some sleep." Verse 6, the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Here goes Samuel running off to Eli again and said, "Sir, I'm here. Just like you called me." He said, "I called not my son. Lie down again." Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Tell you something, Mom and Dad, I'm not just preaching to children tonight. I'm preaching to everybody, but you better, and even if it's your husband or wife, you watch in their life for the conviction of God to start moving on them. And be sensitive to that. And when God gets to moving on them, you do all you can to encourage them to do the right thing. Boy, old Eli finally perceives that God has called the child. And he goes, and therefore Eli said to Samuel, verse 9, "Go lie down. It shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." "Samuel, let you speak, for thy servant heareth." Aren't you glad that God didn't just call you one time or two times, but God kept a call on and you answered that call? Hallelujah. Praise God for that divine invitation. Where Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." The most precious thing this side of heaven is God the Holy Ghost drawing a man to the blessed bleeding side of the Lamb of God. If Samuel obeys what Eli told him, the Lord came to make himself known to Samuel. You know what's got to happen? The Lord's got to become a reality to him. He's heard about him all his life, but he's just a figment of his imagination. He don't know him. He's never met him. You know how I met Jesus? The Holy Ghost introduced me to him. That's right. When I was lost, I didn't know him. I know I was supposed to love him. I know he was the Savior. I know he died for me. I was told all of that. But it never got real till the Holy Spirit of God introduced me to the Son of God. When God saved me, you might be like Samuel tonight. You just don't understand how it is when you know it's time to be saved. Oh, I pray again, God, tonight, would you make it so real that a wayfaring man, though a fool, couldn't err therein, that God would make himself known to you and real to you, that you'd know tonight it's time to come to Jesus. Now, I tell you what, old Samuel's about to get introduced to the blessed God of heaven. He's about to know him personally. Job 42, verse 5, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Now, watch this now. Here's every person that don't know the Lord. "Well, I'm just as good as them hypocrites down at the church." Boy, that's real bragging, ain't it? Lord God, people in jail's as good as hypocrites. "Well, I'm just as good as so-and-so down there at that church." I tell you what, all that'll stop if you ever see God, and you'll see your sin and see yourself in sackcloth and ashes as nothing and unworthy of the grace of God. You won't be looking at nobody else but see the mirror of God's word and see your need for Christ. Amen. Little Samuel don't understand or discern the voice of God. There's a man in the church, and these fellas that come with me know him. Praise God. And he went home one night up in the mountains of North Carolina the other direction. And they were walking home from revival. And his uncle got under such conviction that he literally, beside the road, fell out in a ditch under so much conviction he couldn't go any farther. And God saved him right there by his marvelous grace. That man I'm talking about went through all of his life thinking that if he got saved, he had to go through the same experience. That's where a lot of folks get messed up. God don't always deal in thunder and lightning. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. How do I know it's time to be saved? There'll be a responding inside of you to God. There'll be a desire inside of you to know God. There'll be something inside of you that'll want Jesus more than anything this world's got. Oh, don't misunderstand the dealing of God, because the devil will deceive you if he can. You can go to church all your life and never have a clue what it means to be saved. Three times Samuel was startled from his slumber. You see, when God saves somebody, he's going to wake them up. They're asleep. While they're going to hell, don't even know it. Don't even care. It isn't even real to them. But it is when God starts dealing with them. All of a sudden, they ain't never cared about God before. All of a sudden, they start wanting to read the Bible. Start wanting to go down there to church, hear folks sing, hear men preach about the gospel. That's the day you couldn't have drug them there with a D10 caterpillar. There was a day had no interest whatsoever. That desire that God puts in a man. It's God dealing with that man. That concern for his soul. It's God dealing with a man. Oh, the glorious day when it all comes to pass and God saves him. Boy, old Samuel heard that tender voice of God. He thought Eli. Oh, no, it ain't Eli. He goes back and lays down. And the Bible says when God called the next time, he said, "Here I am, for thy servant heareth." Oh, thank God that finally, oh, Eli, give him the right instruction. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Boy, old Samuel didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. Let me tell you one thing. A repentant sinner can't pray a wrong prayer. Hey, God's not listening to your words. God sees your heart. And when that lost man puts his faith in the Son of God, that's when God saves him. Boy, children, though, need to be taught to pray early. I was taught to pray early. Children, listen, you say, why should they be taught to pray early? Because they need to know that there's a God. My little old boy, when he got saved, he's 10 years old now. I mean, he got the full load, buddy. He witnesses all the time. Already wrote two little gospel songs. And he told me, and I said, I didn't even know God's dealing with him. I mean, he sure had it hid from me. I was begging God all the time to deal with him. And he told me before he got saved for a solid year, every night he'd say, "God, now you let me know when it's time for me to get saved." I said, "Now, God, I want you to let me know when it's time for me to get saved." I said, "Seth, did you get saved the first time God dealt with you?" He said, "No, I got saved at the end of the service, and he dealt with me when they were singing in the choir." He said, "I could have got saved at the first of the service." There ain't many folks like that. His little tender heart had been longing for God, and when God called, he's expecting it, thank God. And he responded. Boy, I'm so glad he didn't run from God, that he run to God. How's that drawing power? That's what he's waiting on. He heard about it, heard me preach about it, heard folks testify about it. He's waiting on God to come and get him. Thank God, he's waiting on God to save him. I bet there's somebody in here like that tonight. You're just waiting on God. God, if you'll call me, I'll come. He knows when you're ready. Don't worry. You got that attitude. He's going to be calling. Only God can open your heart. You can go through catechism. You can go through every confirmation. You can go through every educational religious institution and graduate with doctors of divinity. Everything, but only God can touch your understanding. Only God can open up the heart of a man. Because it's not the organ of the heart, but it's the soul. Acts 8:30. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And it desired Philip he would come up and sit with him. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what that lost man needs to get a hold of. It's Christ. That's the way of salvation. Well, that old Ethiopian eunuch been at Jerusalem. He bought him a scroll of the book of Isaiah. Keith is hungry for God. He couldn't wait to get back home to read it. He stopped that old horse, that chariot, out there in the desert. And he said, "Praise God." He might not have said praise God, but he said, "I got to, man, there's something. I can't go forward. There's something about this scroll, and I got to find out what it says." He began to read it, and he couldn't understand what he was reading. God supernaturally gave Philip a free air ride. Yeah. Transported him from a great revival in Samaria and dropped him off outside of that little chariot. And God said, "You go join yourself to that chariot." He heard that old boy reading out loud about Christ's wounded for our transgressions. He is bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes were healed. He said, "This man that wrote this talking about himself, or is he talking about another?" Oh, Philip, I'm so glad that you asked that question. Let me tell you what happened. It ain't been long ago on a hill called Calvary where the Son of God bled and died between two thieves, and your sin and mine were laid upon him, and he paid the sin debt, and he paid it in full, and he's buried and rose again the third day, and he's the Savior of the world. He said, "Will you believe that?" He said, "I believe it. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Praise God. He was willing. Obey God. Oh, once he found out who the Savior was. And it's Jesus. Boy, children need to be taught to expect God to deal with them. Boy, how privileged Samuel was to be dealt with by God at such an early age. See, the blessing of a child getting saved, a life is saved. It's not just a soul. Look at the heartache and the heartbreak that can be avoided if a child saved and lives for God. Samuel said, "Speak, Lord." I'll tell you one thing. When a man comes to God, there ain't no strut, buddy. I mean, he's humble. He's broken. And it's not the man upstairs. It's the Lord. "Speak, Lord." Boy, he recognizes the authority of God and the Lordship of Christ. And that Christ is the answer. Praise God. He's willing to listen. You'll never get saved till you're willing to listen. Who gets a man's ear? God does. You cooperate with God, he'll fill your heart full of truth. Boy, the Lord began to speak to him. "Let there be light," and there was light. All God's got to do is say the word. Praise God, you might be in darkness right now. Listen, I know exactly when God done that to me. It may not be that real to you, and if it's not, I'm not telling you you're not saved, not for a second. God deals with everybody different. But when God saved me, my pastor read to me Romans 10:9-10, and it's just like the light come on for the first time in my life, and I seen that Christ died for me. Oh, that's what I pray tonight, that God will let you see how that man on that middle cross bleeding and dying in your place to save your soul. Bible says that was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know what that little old Samuel was trying to say? Didn't even know what he was saying. Speak, Lord, and bring light to my darkened mind. I'll tell you one thing. 2 Corinthians 4:6 declares, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That word shines in the heart of a man, and God turns on the light. 1 Peter 2:9, who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does that mean, speak, Lord? That means, Lord, give me understanding. Oh, what that means to me is like the old song that they used to sing, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Oh, the heart gets to longing for Jesus Christ, and make nothing in 10 million worlds and satisfy the longing of the soul. But Jesus of Nazareth, he's the only one that can please and satisfy and give joy to man's heart. Oh, Samuel could say, Lord, I'm young, but I'm not too young to die. That's right. I might be young, but I'm not too young to be lost. I might be young, but I'm not too young to get saved. The young person may die, but the old person must die. I'll tell you, it's time to get serious about this thing of whether or not I'm truly saved. Now, folks accuse me. It's like Brother Michael here too. Boy, you preach too much on that stuff. I'll tell you something. You know what I want folks to know? I want them to know that they 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 know that they're saved in such a way that a preacher can't talk them out of it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Have that inner assurance, that dogmatic assurance, that they know that they passed from death into life because they love the brethren. They love the Word of God, not just an emotional experience on the side of the road or the altar of the church that got that evidence of a changed life. Yeah. Boy, the old Samuel's concerned. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Boy, I tell you what a blessing that is. Many hear, they hear preachers, but they never hear the Lord. Heard a man say this one time, how true it is. We preach a whosoever, but not a whensoever. The only time that a man can ever get saved, woman, boy, girl, is when God invites them to come. Amen. Greatest preacher I ever know is Percy Ray, the greatest bar none. When he was 12 years old, those people of the church, I guess they told him all they knowed. Said, you're 12 years old, it's time you join the church. What foolishness that is. Somebody tell a kid that, I don't even think they're saved themselves. They don't understand no more than that. I tell you what, the preacher can't tell you to get saved. Your mom and daddy came, you got to be called. And the phone ain't ringing, there ain't no need to pick it up. There ain't nobody on the other side. Amen. So he joined the church like they said. He got involved in the youth group, leader of the youth group. Everybody said, boy, man, you got talent. You got talent. Man, speaking public like you can, ought to be a preacher. So he started doing that. And they called him to a church and got over there, and the deacons told him, well, it's almost time for our, I don't know if it's the springtime or the fall time, but it was time for their revival that time of the year. And they said, it's customary that if we get a new pastor, he preaches the first revival so everybody in the community can come and hear him. He said, I ain't preaching no revival. They said, you got to. That's the way we do it around here. So they wouldn't take no for an answer. That first Monday night of that revival, he shows up, and what he'd do, he'd study old Charles Spurgeon, or some of those old preachers had a photographic memory and memorize what they said and get up and repeat it. Well, he got there that night, it's raining cats and dogs, and there's an old deacon there and four peoples all that showed up. It's raining so hard. Back then, everybody didn't have cars. They walked to church, most of them. And the deacon said, well, Pastor, you got four people here. They're not members of this church, and they're visitors. You go ahead and preach. He got up, and he quoted one of them memorized sermons of Charles Spurgeon. He got to the end of that thing, and all four of them got to crying, and they walked down front, and they said, we need to get saved. He said, you can't join the church. There ain't enough deacons and members here to vote you in. They said, we don't want to join the church. We come to get saved tonight. He said, I done told you, you can't join the church. There ain't enough deacons here or members to vote you in. That deacon got to talking to him. He said, Pastor, they don't want to join the church. They need to get saved. He said, whatever they need to do, you talk to them, I'll pray for them. And that deacon was a witnessing of those four people, and they got gloriously saved. And old Percy Ray watched that thing. He got so mad. He went back over there to his home church. I've been to it. He took his ordination license and threw them in their face. Walked out the door and was an agnostic for years. People come to witness to him. His holes in the side of his door where he'd shoot at them. As a man got such a burden for him, he went over there and laid down. He was scared to knock on the door, and he laid down outside of where his little bathroom was. He said, God, I'm not leaving here until you say Percy Ray. And old Dr. Ray walked in to the bathroom, had an old-fashioned radio, cut that thing on, and it's on gospel music. And he got so mad because God got to dealing with him, and he cut the radio off and got to cursing God, and God showed him hell. And in 1 second, he said he is as wet with sweat as if he jumped in the river, after begging and pleading with God not to leave him and send him to hell. And God saved him by grace, and he won folks to Jesus all over his country. But he almost went to hell over a bunch of ignorant church members that told him it was time for him to get saved. I'll tell you something. Don't you prop your young'uns up. If they ask you if they're saved, don't you tell them they are. You let them tell you they are. Hey, they got an experience with God. They ought to know about it. Let them tell you they're saved. I preached that in a church not long back, and as a man got so mad, he got up on Friday night and rebuked me. He said, I tell my kids all the time they're saved. There ain't nobody going to tell me they're not. He ain't. Man, talk like that, Brother Mike. He's just under conviction himself. I'm here to tell you, I got something. I don't have to go ask Mom and Daddy what happened to me. Thank God I was there, and there's a witness on the inside of the Holy Ghost, and God lets me know on the inside that I'm his. You know, I know I'm saved. I was there. Praise God, I was there. I know when the burden rolled away and the guilt was lifted. My question to you tonight is, if you're saved, where did it happen? You know what my little boy was telling you about 10 years old? I told him about somebody at church said they got saved. He said, Just wait a minute. I'm going to go find out. I'll ask them to give me their testimony. He went to school one day, got to witness to his best buddy. And his buddy ran home and told his mama. He was getting upset. And she said, you go tell him you are saved. He went back and told Seth. Seth told him, listen, I'm going to be praying for you. Little boy comes back about a month later and says, I got saved. Seth said, tell me your testimony. He said, a man saved got testimony. Isn't that something a 10-year-old boy knows that? Amen. Hey, don't tell me you're saved and don't know where it happened. You might not know the year or the month or the day. Hey, you look at one preacher, don't buy this stuff, that somebody big as God can come in you and you not know it. Hey, I don't believe that. I wouldn't want a salvation I didn't know about because I was afraid I could lose it and not know it. Hey, what God gives is eternal. And when God gives that gift, you'll know it. Now, Satan might confuse you. But see, when Satan gets to confusing you, the devil says, now, how do you know where you got saved? The more you get to thinking about that thing, then the Holy... I'll tell you something. I've not told this here. But it never did bother me till about 3 or 4 years ago. For a month, Satan got on my back. You know why he done that? God let that happen so I would have mercy on people. And he got to aggravating me. How do you know you're saved? Well, I thought, man, what is he doing? And I was walking down the hall, Baptist Hospital, where all those pictures are, the old hospital and all that. And the Holy Ghost, I mean, hit me in my heart. And he took me right back to that spot where God saved me. And the Holy Ghost said, don't you ever doubt that again.
Amen.
Hey, I'll tell you something. When my heart condemns me, God is bigger than my heart.
Yeah.
When the devil lies to me, God is bigger than my heart. Oh, God said, if we're saved, we got the witness on the inside. I get the witness to you what God done, that there's one bigger than me. That witness is on the inside that I'm saved by God's grace. And it's real, buddy. You say, how do you know it's real? Because praise God, there's evidence of that change at God. Listen, I messed up on God many a time. I can't get God off my mind. Night and day. He won't leave me alone. I can't get by with nothing. He treats me like I'm his son and he's my father. That's how I know I belong to him. Praise God. My neighbors never whipped me. My daddy did. Brother Mike, I know what it is for God to chasten me. God don't chasten Satan's kids, but he sure does his. Thank God that lets us know that we belong to God. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing. I'll tell you something. Think about this. Have you gotten your heart salvation to such an extent that if your younguns got what you got, would they go to heaven? I tell you what, that's what I want my kids to get, just what I got, because it's what they need.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I know, listen, and if you listen to me, I ain't a bragging on what I did, because I didn't do it. He did. That's how I know it's real. What God did, I couldn't do. I ran from it as hard as I could till God boxed me in. And praise God, I know there wasn't no way to live but to surrender. You know what was demanded of old Samuel here? That he acknowledged the Lord. And just what he was doing is crying for mercy. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Boy, you make somebody their servant, then somebody's their master. He is bound to God as the Lord of his life, the Savior. I'll never forget this story. This is one of the strangest ones I ever heard. And the reason I know it's real, because I know the man's life. Anybody knows Jim Price down there at Lenore knows that's a saved man if there is one. He got saved just different than I've ever heard. This heaven revival, real revival, broke out of the Baptist church down there in Whitnall. There's a bunch of people getting saved. I mean, just hundreds of them. His wife was one of them. She'd come home and it's Saturday night and she didn't say a word to him, as hard-headed as he was. All he wanted to do is play golf and drink beer. I mean, that's just his life. And I ain't jumping on you about playing golf, but you don't need to drink beer. And anyhow, he gets up Sunday morning. Well, he ain't been to church in probably 30 or 40 years. I forget what he said, but it'd been years and years and years. And got up and was dressed. She said, where are you going? He said, I'm going with you. And he said, to this day, he don't even know why he done that.
Right.
Why in the world he even got ready? I mean, he just got undone it. And got to sitting there in the whole service. He said he didn't hear a word the preacher said. He said the way he was raised, all he knew there's a hell and a judgment. He is going to stand before both. That's all he knew. He said he went there that Sunday. On one side was a devil and the other side was God the whole service. Said they got to that invitation. He said in the tender voice of God, he said it's like God reached his hand out and said, Jim, will you come? Jim, will you come? Jim, will you come? Old Jim said, for he noted he was a stepping out. And he got down there to the altar. Hey, for them saying, Jim, you backslid. You need to get right with God. You just backslid. He said he didn't know what's wrong with him. He just know God said, Jim, will you come? And he said, I come.
Yeah.
He said he got up and he walked out the door of that church and got out to Cedar Rock Country Club Sunday afternoon, took his golf club and went to pull it back, and God said, no, son. He looked around. Who said that? God said, no, son. He said, God ain't never called him son before. He said, and God revealed to him that when God said, come, and he stepped out, God took that faith and that childlike faith. God saved him by his marvelous grace. Oh, thank God for that time when heaven touches earth and God births one into the family of God and they become a child of the King. Some of y'all got everything but Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, you got a tithing record and a attendance record and read through the Bible. How many times you read through the Bible? You know every time. Don't know Jesus. Oh, there's people like that all over this country. Salvation is personal and it's real. Boy, listen, when you get down... Listen, last summer they thought I was going to die. Boy, you get to looking at the other side. It'll make a difference if you're anchored to the cross.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I tell you one thing. I told Keith last night. I said when they told me I was going to die, God never gave me dying grace. And I said I never did think I was going to die because God didn't give me dying grace. Only thing I was worried about was the job wasn't half done. That's the only thing bothering me. I wasn't worried about where I was going. I know where I was going. What? Debt's been paid. I accepted what Jesus did. And God saved me a long time ago. And I'm saved right now.
Amen.
And praise God. If I was you, I'd settle out of court.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You got a court date at the judgment of God, I'd settle out of court. Boy, if there's that desire in your heart, come to this altar. I'd just come by faith. Say, Jesus, if you'd take a sinner like me, I'd sure be privileged to have a Lord like you.
Yes.
Childlike faith. Hey, God knows your heart. Say, I don't know how to pray. You don't have to. God never said a sinner had to know how to pray. He just said, come. And if you'll come, he'll do the rest. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.